Well, good morning. Let's get out our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John chapter 14 as we continue moving back now into this Gospel of John. We're going through it verse by verse, scripture by scripture after the Father's Day kind of interlude there. And so John 14, we're going to look at pick it up in 13 verse 36 and look through the first six chapters. Can you imagine how long you'd be here? You're going, no! First six verses of chapter 14 and a message entitled Help for Heart Trouble. Help for Heart Trouble. You there? Okay. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you and we thank you for this opportunity to study your word. And now, Lord, I pray that we would apply our hearts to wisdom. And Lord, if there be any in our midst today who are not sure that their sin is forgiven, Lord, they're not sure they're born again and have the hope of heaven, God, I pray that they would sense your love for them today, that they would see your life in your people, and Lord, that they might come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. So speak to us now in this time. Draw those that don't know you to yourself, and we'll give you the thanks for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I wonder today, just a little poll, how many of you have ever felt stressed out? Anybody ever felt stressed out? Some of you are saying right now. Have you ever had a time in your life where everything seemed to go wrong all at once, and just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, it did? You ever had one of those times? Or let me put it another way. Have you ever been driving home from anywhere down the hill on Friday afternoon at about 3 or 4 o'clock? Yeah, so you know what stress is like. What are the downsides of the information age that we live in presently with cell phones and tablets and information coming at us really in real time? Is that we know stuff, we get to see stuff going on in real time in the other parts of the world that, well, back when I was a kid, you had to wait for it. You had to wait for it, you know, and there wasn't all this. You're going, I know, how old are you? I'm old. But you couldn't see the wars in real time. You couldn't see everything in real time. And now with everything coming at you so quickly in real time, you have available to you what computers? It took rooms full of computer equipment in my day. Well, I'm still here, but back when I was younger, to actually have that stuff, I mean, it took huge banks of tapes and all to get. Now you have it in the palm of your hand with a little cell phone. And you know what? You can find out the weather report. You don't have to turn on the TV anymore. In fact, you know what? My smartphone is smarter than me, way smarter than me, except for it doesn't know Jesus. So that's, it's dumb in that sense. But the thing that I can do is I can push the button on it and say, weather, Newport Beach. And she goes, the weather in Newport Beach is, and you're going, wow. Wow. I could say, navigate Starbucks. Woo! I'm there. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. And what has happened, though, as a result, is along with all this, it's added a whole new dimension of stress. You know, things that you never knew, never thought of, suddenly you're going, oh no, what's going to happen now? And we tend to get stressed out about things and worry about things that we didn't even know about for days before. You know, it's funny, when you're young, you're stressed out about getting older. You know, you wonder, like, things like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do for a living, and where am I going to college, or who am I going to marry, and how much money am I going to make, and where am I going to live when I get older? When you're young, or when you're older, rather, you think about when you were younger. You know, and it was so much better. Those were the days. That's what you say to your kids, right? These days in high school, you better really like them. I mean, you think homework's a drag. Wait till you get out in my world. You know, I mean, that kind of a thing. Remember back to the days of high school when there was no stress, right? We live as a society, and stress is a reality no matter what stage of life we are in presently. You know, a survey was conducted among people as to what stresses them out. Do you know what the number one thing that stressed out parents was? Fighting with their kids. You know what the number one thing that stressed out kids was? Fighting with their parents. You know the second most stressful thing for parents? Getting their teenagers to study. You know what the second most stressful thing is for teenagers? Doing their homework. Parents are stressed out about promotions and raises while teenagers are stressed out about grades. Parents are stressed out about the noise and chaos while teenagers are stressed out by peace and quiet. Parents stressed out by work, teenagers stressed out by chores. And it goes on and on. Fact of the matter is we all have things that stress us out. Now, if we're not careful, that stress can lead to problems if we don't know how to properly deal with it and handle it. Studies suggest that high levels of stress lead to a lot of health problems, including obesity, heart attacks, ulcers, depression, nervous breakdowns, and even cancer. In fact, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says that in the USA, up to 90% of the visits to physicians may be triggered by stress-related illnesses. Maybe today you're stressed out. You're troubled and struggling about what's going on presently in your life. You look around at the world and there's all kinds of troubles, and life is going to be filled with them. In fact, trouble, par for the course. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have a tribulation. You're going to have trouble. Job tells us in Job 5:7, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upwards. And listen, there's all kinds of troubles. They come in various packages. There's family troubles. Got some of those? There's health troubles. Got any of those? I'm too young for that. Well, maybe you are. Boyfriend troubles? Yeah, that's a problem. Boys, man, those guys, what's wrong with boys? Girlfriend troubles? Yeah, those girls, man, I don't get them. I can't figure them out. Cheer up. It takes a while. A long while. We have disappointments that cause us trouble. We're disappointed with ourselves because we're not always what we want to be. We may want to be strong and have the buff muscles that were weak and kind of wimpy. We want to be successful, but we experience failure after failure. We want to be loved, but people are often indifferent towards us. They don't care about us. So we're disappointed. You disappointed today? Things didn't work out, haven't been working out? Maybe circumstances. Circumstances bring trouble as well. Loss of a job. Again, sickness. Uncertainty about the future. And those problems, of course, cause us many times heart trouble. And we begin to be troubled and anxious, worried, you see. A lot of anxiety around today. Someone has said, and I like this, worrying does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Worry can't profit us anything. And yet, we struggle with it, don't we? And again, it impacts our health. It impacts our, you know, nervous system. And in fact, someone has said, written on countless American gravestones could be the epitaph, hurried, worried, and buried. It's true. How do we move out of this stressful, anxious, troubled condition of our hearts? How do we get out of this? And you know what I love about our text today is these disciples, you remember, they're sensing something is happening. You see, they have been arguing previously about who was going to be the greatest of in the kingdom. And then Jesus, you remember, he got up from the meal as Judas now has left the scene. Jesus has washed the feet of these disciples. He washed even the feet of the one Judas who was about to deny him and betray him. And then he says to them, hey, do you see what I've done to you? I want you to love one another as I have loved you. And so it's on that statement, and Judas leaving, that we pick up our text here. As now Judas is gone, and it's just Jesus with the disciples in this room, sharing moments of intimacy, 24 hours now before his death on the cross of Calvary. And Simon Peter, sensing that Jesus was troubled, struggling about what he was going to face. Not simply the pain of his death physically on the cross. Not simply just the humiliation of being treated like a criminal. But the separation as the sins of the world were going to be poured out on him from fellowship with his Father that he had never experienced was about to take place. That was the greatest pain that Jesus was going to bear. As he was facing that, they could see that in his countenance. He's been announcing that he was going, and so Simon Peter finally asks, and he says, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards. What's Jesus talking about? His death. Whenever a loved one dies, you know what? It's often the case. Oh man, I wish I just want to die. Especially, you know, when you get older and you've been married for a lot of years, I've seen it frequently. The wife, the husband dies, and then the other one doesn't live long after, you see, because there's, you know, what's the point of my life? Jesus is pointing to the fact that we all have a time to die here, and he's telling Peter, Peter, you will die eventually. Newsflash, everyone in this room and those outside this room. Wherever they are on planet Earth, guess what? The living know that Job says they will what? Die. Okay? You're all going to die. We're all going to die. Someday. But not today. Today, right now, at least for this moment. Now, I don't know an hour from now. But right now, you're here, and as long as you're here on planet Earth, guess what? God has a plan for you to fulfill and a purpose for you being here, and it's not time to be committing suicide or destroying your life. It's time to be finding out God's purpose and plan for your life. And that's what he's telling Peter. Peter, you can't follow me now. I know you feel like giving up. I know you're struggling, you see, and stressing and worried about the whole situation, the way this whole thing is turning out. And you can't follow me now. You will follow me afterwards. But not now. And Peter said to him, Lord, you don't know me. You see, he says, why can I not follow you now? Lord, I will lay down my life for you. In other words, I'm willing to die. I want to die with you, Lord. I don't want to be without you. Here's something that we see here. God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows your heart. Better than you know your heart. And those, oh, he made the big promise. Guess what? He didn't come through very well, did he? As we will see. Jesus answered and he said, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, Peter, I say to you that the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times." Now, Peter was already troubled. That threw him into a bigger trouble. What? Are you saying I'm going to fail? Lord, I'll never fail you. You ever said that to the Lord? Lord, I'll tell you what, if you'll do this, if you'll answer this prayer, if you'll work out this situation, if you'll bring about that situation, you know what? I promise I'll read my Bible every day. I'll go to church, every time the church is open. I'll be committed to you. This is it, Lord. You can trust me. Just work this situation out and do it. And you got my word on it, Lord. I'll change. You ever done that? I have. Guess what I found out? I found out what Peter found out here. I don't know my own heart. In my heart, there's part of me that wants to, but then there's this, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body, this flesh of sin and death. There's this battle raging, you see. Have you found that? And then Jesus says to Peter, "You're going to deny me. And I know you guys are all struggling. Listen, here's the problem. You're troubled about this whole thing." He says, "Listen, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Heart trouble. That word for trouble means agitated, disturbed, or thrown into confusion. You ever been there? God, you said you'd work. You said you'd bless. You said you'd take care of and provide. And here's what's going on. And I'm about to be on the streets. And you're confused. What if I follow you? If I serve you? If I give my life to you? Listen, I'm struggling with this. Why isn't this working out? Why aren't things going the way I thought they should and hope they would? That's what these disciples were facing. You remember a while back, they were arguing about who was going to be the greatest when Jesus set up his kingdom on planet Earth. So their idea, Messiah's here, we've seen the miracles, we believe in you, Jesus. So when are you going to set up this kingdom, get rid of the Roman rule and oppression on the Jews and set us all free and make, Earth the way it ought to be and where everything's dealt with rightly and we are ruling and reigning with you, you see. That's what they were thinking. But now they're sensing that things aren't what they thought they were going to be. And it was causing them to be thrown into confusion. Their hearts were disturbed and agitated. Their world, what they had thought, was now coming unraveled. The light was becoming dim in their minds. And Jesus is telling them, hey, certainly there's cause to be troubled at what's going to happen presently, but listen, it won't last. There's greater cause not to be troubled. Listen, regardless of what may cause us to be troubled as Christians, know this today, there's more cause not to be. And Jesus laid out for these disciples in that day in his presence and for us in this day very applicable, very practical solution to heart trouble. Not that we wouldn't be troubled because we'll all experience it from time to time. The question is how do you move from that place of troubled hearts back to that place of peace? Of confidence. Well, first of all, and if you're taking note, this is point one, step one. We need to believe in God's promises. and in the person of Jesus Christ. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And then what do you say? First step, you believe in God, believe also in me. You see, listen, you need to look to me, you need to listen to me. Because you're here and your world is crashing down. You're beginning to panic and have problems. You're wondering and questioning what's going to happen to us. What about the future? What about this denial, Lord? Peter might say that you're prophesying about me. Am I going to make it? Are we going to fall away? Has this all been for nothing? We left family, we've left jobs, employment, vocations to follow you. And now you're going to die. And you know what? The people that want to kill you, guess what they want to do to us? They want to kill us too. So is this the end, Lord? Is this all it's going to be? Like Peggy Lee sang years ago, is that all there is? And then she said, if that's all there is, let's break out the booze and have a ball. You know, I mean, if that's all. These guys are wondering. I mean, they're afraid. You can't help it. They're thinking about their own death. If Jesus is executed, those that opposed him also oppose them. Know this, whatever your circumstance, your hardship, your difficulty, your anxiety today, God has a plan for you, saint. If you believed in Jesus Christ, he's got a purpose for it. This terror that filled their hearts presently, you see, was something that Jesus now was saying, trust me, I've taken care of you up to this point. I've protected you up to this point. Guess what? That which I've begun, I will continue to perform. I want you to note something here. When Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, does this mean that Christians should never feel anxious, pressured, or stressed, or afraid? Does this mean that even the struggle that they're having is sinful? Does this mean that we're supposed to walk around like we've committed intellectual, emotional suicide and say, hey, praise the Lord, everything's good. No matter whether you lost a loved one, your child died, you know, you got hit by a car. Hey, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and everything's good. That person's checked out, okay? The lights are on, nobody's home. Hey, we're going to have these times. That's what this is teaching us. This heart trouble is something that is natural, but listen, you need to rise above it. You can move out of it. You don't have to live there. You experience it from time to time, but don't let it take over control in your life. And that's what he's saying. I know what you're feeling, how you're struggling, but don't let your heart be troubled. Listen, you need to believe me. Move out of that place. Move beyond your present circumstances and put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. Believe in me. In other words, Jesus is pointing to the fact that the problem that you're having presently, the trouble you see, the agitation is the result of not believing what I have said. I've told you all along, and he has, that I'm going to die and rise and on the third day. I've been telling you this, and so, listen, you can trust me. Take me at my word. I've never let you down previously. See, you're looking at just the what's in front of you presently. That's so often the case, isn't it? What's going on presently in our life is what causes a lot of the struggle and the trouble. Lord saying, lift your eyes off the temporal and what's going on presently and look to the eternal, you see, ultimately. So often we're so much like our children, aren't we? We're just big kids. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, you know, it's hard to get your kids when they get that money for their birthday from grandma, and they've been wanting a certain toy to get them to save that money so that they can get some added to it. Maybe the other grandma and grandpa will send you something. Maybe I could put in, you could really get that Wii that you want. The Xbox that you want. So why don't you save it? We'll see. No, I want to go to Toys R Us right now. Then they go to Toys R Us, you go with them, they buy the junkiest toy. Mommy, can I get this? No, honey, that's gonna break. I want it. No, it won't last. You won't give. Okay. And what do? They go out and buy it, and just like you prophesied, because you can see it. And about 15, 20 minutes after they get it home, it breaks, and you go, okay. Oh, the stupid toy. Well, I tried to tell you that. They wanted the immediate gratification. They were interested and engaged in, and all that mattered to them was that they get the temporal. I need this right now, this toy right now. We're so much like that as adults. We don't think many times of the eternal. We're focused on the present. You see, God is got the bigger picture, and He wants us to look a little higher and to think, "Hey, I got a plan for the eternal." You see, and so the temporal, it's fading away. It's passing. And what's going on presently, I'm just working for your eternal benefit, you see. We think of today, God's planning for tomorrow. We think of our comfort while God thinks of our character. We think of the path of least resistance while God thinks of the paths that lead to righteousness. And that's the cause many times of our heart trouble. God says, hey, listen to me, look to me, believe me, look at my word. A lot of the times the reason that we're so messed up and have such a struggle is because we ignore God's word. Or maybe we don't ignore it, maybe we just haven't read it. Do you read God's word? I hope all of you who are believers in here today have a regular, disciplined study of God's word, you know, going verse by verse, scripture by scripture, book by book, through the Bible. You see, not a bad thing to do, and today there's no excuse. You get one of those tablets so cheap. You get the little U version of the Bible. You set up whatever plan you want. You can go through the Bible chronologically. You can go, there's all kinds of ways and different methods that you can use to go through the Bible. And all you have to do is set up your plan. Then you hit the button. Then you, as soon as you hit the button, the Bible comes up and it takes you through. And on my plan, it tells me when to stop. Tells me where to start. It's like a no-brainer. There's no excuse. Like it's, oh, I didn't know, I forgot where I left off last, you know, my age, you can, okay? But now I've got this tool, and there's no reason not to be reading through your Bible. Because you see, the Bible's where the answers are. It's where the cure for the trouble is. Let's say, for example, you're having a problem with your computer. Let's say you bought a Windows version of the computer. What are you going to do when it doesn't work or when you have a question or a problem with it? Are you going to kind of, you know, hope that somehow Bill Gates senses the stress that you have and picks up the phone and calls you and tells you what to do? Can I tell you that's probably not going to happen? Do you think somehow that you should be able to channel Bill Gates and he could hear your heart across the... If you think hard enough and channel Bill Gates, well, actually, you know, channel the information you need into your heart. Now, that's not going to happen either. You see, instead, the company he founded, known as Microsoft, gave you something with that computer called a user's manual. directions, instructions, quick setup, different issues. There's a support site where you can get your questions answered. You have technical support. You see, what you need to do is take the user's manual first and carefully read it, and many times that will answer a lot of your questions. In the same way, God can speak to our hearts, yes. But He primarily, the way He speaks to us is through His user's manual, the Bible. Now, if you've read the user's manual, the Bible, and you still don't have answers, then, hey, call tech support and shoot a prayer up. And then pray, and then open the Bible again and read. And you know what? God will speak. We're challenged to do that. Joshua 1:8 says, study this book, New Living Translation, of the law continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be sure to obey all that is written in it. Only then will you succeed. Do you want to succeed as a Christian? Or do you want to scrape by? I hope you want to be successful. You say, well, I've read the word, but guess what? Unless you act on what you've read, what good is it? James tells it like this in James chapter 1, verse 23, again, the New Living Translation. For if you just listen, you listen to me on Sunday mornings, you listen when you open the word, God speaks to your heart. If you listen and don't obey, it's like getting up in the morning and looking at your face in the mirror and doing nothing to fix what's wrong. And I guarantee you there's something wrong with all of us. We don't look exactly the same in the morning, or at least we don't smell the same in the morning. An adjustment needs to be made. God is saying, you open your Bible, you know what? You need to do something when God speaks to you. You need to put it into action in your life. So we must read God's word and then we must believe and then trust Him and submit ourselves to Him. And listen, God is faithful. There's one thing that God can't do. Do you know what that is? He can't lie. He cannot lie. Whatever your circumstances or hardship, you know that He has a purpose in those circumstances. How do I know that? Because the Bible says in Romans 8:28, you probably can all quote it, and sometimes because we can quote it and we know it, it can lose its meaning if we don't hear it. It says this, and we know, here's something we know and we don't know. Yeah, in one of those situations, I don't know why God allowed this. I don't know what's going on with that. I don't know why they did this. I don't know why I didn't get that. Hey, listen, and we know. Here's what you know when you don't know. What is that? All things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. That's what you know when you don't know. I don't know what's going on. But I do know this. God says all things are working together for good. So even this seeming tragedy, God is going to use for my good and His glory. Boy, I can't wait to see that. What how that's going to work out. But that's the way it is. So we need to remember God's promises, believing in Him. Okay? And then secondly, our hearts should not be troubled because, well, we're going to heaven, the place He is preparing. He says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. No matter what happens to us on this earth today, precious saint, it pales in comparison with this hope, the hope of heaven. The words of the Apostle Paul remind us of this truth. Again, the New Living Translation, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Listen to this about our present situation. He says, for our present troubles are quite small and won't last very long. He goes on to say, yet they produce for us an immeasurably great glory that will last forever. Troubles produce glory that will last eternally. You hear that? He goes on, he says, so we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. Rather, we look forward beyond them to what we have not yet seen. For the troubles we see will soon be over, and the joys to come will last forever. Moms, you know that. Remember when that transition was going on and that baby was being born? Trouble, right? Woo! Thank God it didn't last forever, right? And guess what? The joy that came forth as a result. You're saying, well, mine's a teenager, right? The joy that came forth. Got to look beyond that. God's at work. Deep inside, you see, we all long for the place we have never been. And that place is heaven. And heaven is waiting for the child of God. How do I know? You have His word on it. He is going to prepare a place for us. And that's the key element to bring us comfort in this present situation. Listen, He's preparing, the idea that He's preparing a place for you and for me, I mean, God preparing a place He has been working on for some 2,000 years now for you, with you in mind. If He made Hawaii just, you know, and spoke the world into existence in 7 days and made all the beauty that you see when you cruise around this planet, can you imagine what your pad that He's working on is looking like? Man, don't get caught up on the here and now. You're moving. This is tent time. You're moving into a mansion. The Lord says, get your eyes off, you see, just dwelling in the present and look towards eternity that will surpass heaven, anything that you can even imagine. God is able to do above and beyond, abundantly above and beyond anything you can even imagine possible. And know this, you will never be fully satisfied. Abraham looked for a continuing city whose builder and maker is who? God. You're never going to find it in any city. Pastor, if I could just move out of the desert and down to the beach on Newport, man, live right on the beach, man, Laguna, you know, in a mansion, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. Look at the people down there. And here's what's funny. They're coming out to the, if I could just get out to the desert, you know, and just get out where I can ride my bikes and, you know, my four wheels and we're sitting, if I could just go down to the beach and, you know what? Here's the, if you could just get to heaven. That's when you're going to find real satisfaction. That's when you're going to go, home. We're just traveling here, man. You know what it's like when you're traveling? Whenever I'm traveling, man, you know what? I like traveling. Don't misunderstand. It's okay to travel and to see different things. But you know what, man? A vacation can wear you out, can't you? Have you ever come home from vacation going, thank God we're home and off vacation. I'm burned out, man. I'm tired. Yeah, and there's nothing like getting everything unpacked, getting everything cleaned up, and then just home. Turn on the air conditioner, flip on the TV, get a little food, coffee, donut, couple donuts. That's what heaven's going to be like. That's what it's going to be like. Man, finally, I'm home and fulfilled, and this is it. Oh, man, I finally arrived. Reminds me of a story that Simon Peter is a New York cab driver, and a well-known minister arrived in heaven, and Simon Peter met them at the pearly gates, and came to the cab driver first, and Peter introduced himself and said, listen, I'm in charge of housing here, and I want to direct you to the place where we have set up for you today, for your eternity and your mansion. And so he put his hand on the cabbie's shoulder and he pointed into the desert. He says, see up there that mansion on that beautiful green hilltop? That's yours, my friend. Go and enjoy it. So the cab driver tipped his hat, walked off with a spring in his step, with a smile on his face to his new pad, you see. Well, at the sight of this, the minister got a big smile on his face going, wow. Hey, this is going to be good. I mean, if that cabbie gets a mansion like that, imagine what I will get. So Peter calls the minister forward, and he comes up, and he's smiling, and he goes, Hey, good to see you, Peter said. And here's the deal. See that beat-up shack down there in the valley? That's your place. You go there. Well, the minister, suddenly the smile was gone. He was shocked. Excuse me, Peter, he said. I'm a man of God. I spent my life in ministry, serving the Lord and preaching the gospel. I don't for the life of me understand how this New York cabbie can get a pad like that and I get a dump in the valley. Peter replied, here's what it comes down to. Seems that when you preached, people slept. But when that driver, that cabbie drove, people prayed. So I know I'm getting a mansion because my staff prays and my wife and children pray when I drive. But that day is coming when we will strike this earthly tent, as Paul says to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, when we die and leave these bodies, we'll have a home in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies and we long for the day when we will put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. I'm glad that I'm getting a newer body, you know, a new body. Rather, because the older this one gets, maybe if you're young now, you're going, well, I don't know what's so glad about it. You will, if the Lord tarries, you will. I'm looking forward to that day. So you know, we need to keep our eyes towards eternity. And then thirdly, our hearts shouldn't be troubled because Jesus is coming for us. It's not only the place we're going to be, it's the person with whom we're going to be. I'm going to come back. I'm going to receive you. Not I'm going to drag you and grab. I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. A place can be beautiful, but if the person that you love isn't there with you, it lacks, doesn't it? Your mansion, our eternal homes are going to be beautiful, but it's not just the place. It's the person. We are going to be in the presence of loved ones and all in the presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You see, folks, that's key. And then Jesus, he says, and where I go, you know the way, you know. Then Thomas, some people call him Doubting Thomas. And certainly there was a time he doubted when he wasn't there for the meeting and Jesus showed up the first time after his resurrection. But this was not a time of doubting. This was a time where we can call him Honest Thomas. What's that? Well, everybody else, and maybe you've been in this place, you in the classroom played like you understood what the algebra teacher said about the problem or the science teacher. Oh, yeah, I see that. You had no clue. But you weren't going to raise your hand. He goes, everybody get it? Uh-huh. Because you don't want to look dumb. You had no idea, but you didn't want to look dumb, so you didn't raise your hand. But you're thankful for that one person who was willing to look dumb and raise his hand and go, I don't get it. Oh, thank God he did say that. Man, I wouldn't have never said that, but I thank God he said that. Because I need a little bit more explanation. Well, that's Thomas. He's going, Lord, you know what? You say we know the way? Newsflash. I don't know about the rest of these guys, but I don't have a clue. I don't know the way, and I don't know how it is we can get there. And Jesus said to him one of the probably most repeated statements and things that we as Christians here, we've memorized, in fact, most of this, at least these first six verses in this chapter, probably the most often read and quoted verses of Scripture. Jesus said to him these words in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There it is. The statement that a lot of people have problems with. Why? Because Jesus said there is only one way to God and heaven eternally. There's not many choices. There's not many roads. This is hard for a lot of people to accept. They have an attitude when you read this statement as, hey man, you're so narrow-minded. I mean, how dare you suggest that your faith is the only true faith? They say, how dare you say that all other religions are not true and that all roads don't lead to God? I mean, who are you to say that? I say to them, I didn't say that. I'm just the messenger. Guess who said it? Jesus. If you don't like it, don't take it up with me. I didn't write it. You know what? Take it up with him. Well, I don't believe it. Well, that's your choice. That's what people like to do. Well, I think Jesus was a good person. Really? If he wasn't the only way, if he wasn't the truth and the life, if he wasn't the only path to God, if there are many roads to God, how could Jesus possibly be a good person if that's a lie? So, good people lie and deceive? No. People don't like that statement. And yet, you know what? That's what the Bible says. And you either believe it all. Well, I like parts of the Bible. Listen, God has not left it where you can like parts of the Bible. Either you believe the whole thing or you believe none of it. Either Jesus is a liar, a lunatic, or he is your Lord. There is no middle ground. And when it comes to truth, you need to open God's word. When it comes to the way to get to heaven, you need to come through Jesus Christ. When it comes to living life as God intended it, it's all contained there in God's Word, the instruction manual. And this is not the only place that statement's made. There is salvation, Acts chapter 4:12 says, nor is there salvation in any other than Jesus, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. A 1 Timothy that we read on Wednesday, chapter 2, verse 5, there is one God and one mediator, and it's not Mary or any of the saints. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's Christ Jesus. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. It's not by works. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how many good deeds you do. I don't care how much you give. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy shown to us on the cross of Jesus Christ, where he died in our place, paying the price for our sin, that we are saved. There is no other way. When Jesus said it's finished on the cross, he said it's finished. He didn't say it's still in process. God has done the work. What's your response? To believe. So the moment you acknowledge Jesus as your Savior, you're saying you believe he died on the cross for you. He paid the price for your sins. It means that you have turned from that sin and you are putting your faith in him. It means you have become a child of God and have guaranteed residence waiting for you on the other side when the Lord returns or when you go home. It means that when Jesus comes back again, if it happens in our lifetime, he will take us with him. It's all based on what he's done, not on your good deeds. Now, yes, good works follow those that believe. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you put your faith in him, then you will do what the Bible says. You'll want to go to church and study the Bible and to pray. You want to do the things that the Bible tells us we should do. But those things don't save you, precious saints. They are the result of your salvation. So let me ask you, do you have heart trouble today? Agitated? Stressed out, under pressure, then here's God's word to you. Trust me, believe in me, put your faith in me, not in the government or anything else. Remember where we're going to find it, in heaven, ultimately. We'll always lack. You see, as long as we're here on planet Earth, as far as complete satisfaction and fulfillment, we're going to find that when we finally get home. And remember, Jesus, the same one that left, is coming back for you and for me. And he's going to take us home with him in glory. Those are promises given to the believer. If you're not a believer, then none of this applies to you. And my proposition to you, my pleading with you really is, you need to come to Christ today. Quit believing in yourself. Quit believing in society. Quit believing in humanity. And put your faith in the one who cannot lie, who will never let you down, who will never leave you or forsake you, who completely understands all about you, who loves you enough that he paid the price for your sin. He took the guilt. He took the shame as he hung there on that cross, so that if you put your faith in him, you can be forgiven of your sin. The guilt taken away, the addiction, the chains, the slavery broken. If you're born again, you have a new start, a new life in Christ. That's what it's all about. Stop living with your heart trouble and come to Jesus and let him alleviate all of that stress. Cast your anxious cares and thoughts on him, knowing that he cares for you and proved it on that cross. Today you can have your life changed. You can leave here a changed man or woman by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Your decision, though. It's up to you. If you want to give your life to Christ today, then don't walk out of here without taking advantage of this opportunity to do so. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the faithful, consistent work of your Spirit to minister your word to our hearts. And now, Lord, I pray that if we've been given as believers ears to hear what your Spirit says, God, that any adjustment in priorities or perspective that we need to, Lord, adjust, anything that we need to change, any perspective, maybe we've lost perspective and we've fallen on the stress and Lord, we are struggling and frustrated with the circumstances. God, may we today submit ourselves, Lord, to do what your word says so clearly to these disciples as your disciples. And may we let you comfort us as only you can. And Lord, I pray if there's any here that don't know you, God, that they would not walk out of this place today without giving their lives to you. And we'll give you the thanks for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.